Gracious God, every one of us has been born by a mother. And today we pray for every mom in every home, in every nation. We pray for the moms who are busy doing laundry, cleaning the house, preparing meals for everyone in their home. May they experience sanity in the middle of the crazy. We pray for the moms who work outside the home. May they experience increased energy and decreased guilt. We pray for the moms of children with special needs. May their energy be replenished, knowing that your heavenly reward is great. We pray for single moms. May their hope and strength be found in our great God, who is the Father of the fatherless. We pray for expectant moms. May God protect the amazing life growing inside of them. We pray for moms who are struggling to get pregnant. May they experience the love of God in the middle of this intense and uncertain battle. We pray for women who have no biological children of their own, but who mother other women as mentors. May they understand your role, their role as a calling from God and as a transformation of their hearts. We pray for moms who had poor mothers themselves, but refused to let that pattern repeat itself. May their godly legacy be carried for generations to come. We pray for those moms who have passed away. May this be a day of honor, freedom, and fond memories. Thank you, God, for giving us these lovely, imperfect, sacrificial women. Thank you for making yourself known to us through them. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, a reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Hear these words about Jesus and Peter and the proclamation of his messiahship. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of our Lord for us this day. You may be seated. We greet you today in this day of God's storyboard when we are looking at this moment in Israel's journey of rebuilding the walls. And we are here with Nehemiah today, the one who rebuilds and restores and renews. They're flipping a couple homes in our neighborhood, and that's a good thing because properties that maybe were a little not cared for as much as they should are now going to find new life. Rebuild, restore, and renew. I could make a case that that's exactly what moms do. Rebuild, restore, Renew. Do I get an amen from a mom here today? Yeah? I know some of you well, and I know that's what you have done in your lives, and I give thanks for you. So as we learn from Nehemiah, and I believe we'll learn about the things and the aspects that moms bring to our lives along this journey today, let's pray before the living Lord. Lord God, thank you for today, for an opportunity to think about how in each one of our individual lives we may learn to rebuild, to restore, and renew for you and your kingdom. Thank you so much for mothers. Thank you for what they've done in our lives to build us up and bring us strength. Thank you for the opportunity to look at the life of Nehemiah and learn. May we learn in this chapter of God's storyboard, as the walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt, may we make this a mighty fortress before you, the mission of the church where the gates of hell will never destroy, for you have desire to build strong your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, and I know, I think it's a truth that life is filled with challenges. Along the way, every one of us, as we face our daily routine, have to deal with challenges. And sometimes we see them as opportunities, and sometimes we see those challenges as obstacles, correct? Yeah. Sometimes we run toward the challenges, and sometimes we turn around and we run away. Sometimes those challenges have an ability to get deep into our heart and they just set us on fire. And there are other times when they enter our brain and they're like caustic thoughts and we kind of toss them aside. Challenges. Nehemiah was faced with a huge challenge. He was faced with the knowledge that the walls around Jerusalem that would protect the temple, the holy temple, which has now been rebuilt, were in rubble, shambles. And his heart was heavy as those of the nation that were the remnant still remaining, mostly from the tribe of Judah, they too were sad. And the challenge that Nehemiah enters into begins with a broken heart. Now, if I asked any of you today, do you want your heart to be broken? You'd go, no. I mean, I recall fifth grade and that little girl that let me down. I don't want my heart to be broken. It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. But this is a different type of breaking of heart. The best way I know to get into that story is through another human being that, as I tell you about his story and what he's done, you'll say, hey, I know a little bit about him. We even partner with some of the things that he has done in his life. His name, Bob Pierce. Bob Pierce, a businessman, heads to China, to Korea. He sees not only those things which he is dealing with on his business level, but as he walks the streets, he begins to see the poverty which is on the face of this earth, especially in children's lives. And he prays a prayer, God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. And I wonder if that could be our prayer today. Because when Bob Pierce prayed that prayer before God, God led him to do great things. Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, Samaritan's Purse as well. We work with Samaritan's Purse with Operation Christmas Child every year. All those boxes you bring and the children that we support through World Vision and those of us running for clean water in the Chicago Marathon with Team World Vision, that's Bob Pierce. And it all started with his heart being broken. So enter Nehemiah with a broken heart. He's a great administrator. He's the cupbearer of the king, Artaxerxes, son of Xerxes, husband of Esther. Remember last week? So this is the stepson of Esther, Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah is under his care. He's the cupbearer for this king. What does a cupbearer do? Well, before every time a king was to consume anything, whether liquid or food, the cupbearer would be the tester. So if someone was trying to poison the king, the cupbearer's life was done, finished. An important role, kind of the CIA or the presidential's entourage that goes along, the Secret Service. That's what Nehemiah did. But along the way, he's in conversation with the people who are back in Jerusalem. The remnant is starting to return to the holy city. Those, as I mentioned, who have gone before have built the temple already. It's back and it's running, but the temple can be invaded again if the wall of Jerusalem is not set into place, the wall that David built. And there's pain in Judah, in the nation of Judah, the tribe of Judah, and there is pain that emanates from Jerusalem to Nehemiah. And he feels it deep in his soul. This man is a visionary and he's an action-oriented human being. But the one thing that I want you to realize is he is sensitive and he has a heart that breaks for the situation. And what does he do? He prays. He prays continually over and over again in the work that Laura began in chapter 1 with a prayer to God. Nehemiah asked God, God, if you can help me in any way possible, I'm long away, miles away. Help me to get back and rebuild the wall. And God exactly does that. He paves the way for Nehemiah to be able to get back, even though there's adversaries, there are problems, and there's pain. He brings along two wonderful prophets, Ezra and Malachi, who speak into this moment as well about the spiritual need of the people, and Nehemiah becomes this giant for God. But it all begins with a broken heart and prayer. Two things that everybody in this room can do. Pray the prayer before God to bring you strength, and also then to pray the prayer before God that your heart might be broken with the things that break God's heart. So I have three questions for you this morning. Three questions on this Mother's Day. And I think these would be good questions that moms would ask their kids. I remember my mom kind of asking my wife, leading our kids into these questions. And so you can kind of do a parallel universe as you learn from Nehemiah today. And if there are moms here, or if there are kids here, or if you need to respond back to your mom to say thank you specifically for some things, first question is for you all, everyone in this room, how tender is your heart? How tender is your heart? I don't mean tender like a little baby. I mean tender like God's heart. Because God created us in his image to do good works. And when we sin and fall short of his glory, what does he want to do? Welcome us home again every time, right? God has this compassion for us as his people. Scripture tells us over and over again, he loves the widow and the orphan. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, as Isaiah is bringing his words to those who are far away from God during the time when the people of Israel are exiled, continually in the first few chapters, it talks about God's heart for the widow and the orphan. The tender spot of God's heart is not just a little spot on this big, huge magnitude of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is God's desire for all people to be welcomed into his family. He is not the judge that we create him to be all the time. Why do we do that? We want God to rain down hellfire and brimstone on people in the back of our minds, in the heart of our hearts, rather than open up the heart to say, God, will you do a new thing? I believe this is a huge question for us in this day and age. How tender is our heart? Because the culture I see and what I read on social media and in the news, people are starting to have hardened hearts. You and me included, we just can't point the finger out there. We judge first, think second. We act first, kind of hunkering down in our own little bunker, and then we include others into our journey later. Rather than opening up our arms with compassion and love for all people. And when we judge, it drives us further and further away from a tender heart. And I want to encourage you today, rather than your first option, when you hear something or see something or look at someone else in their behavior, rather than judge or come up with opinion, stop and look at that individual and say, you are a child of God just like me. You are a child of God. You are sinful and unclean just like me. You are created in God's image just like me. You have gifts just like me. And when we see someone else in their beauty first, we run with a tender heart to the things that break God's heart. I give thanks that God sees me with a compassionate heart. Aren't you glad that God sees you with that same compassionate heart? Because I've got enough reason for him to like blow me off the face of the earth right now. I bet you'd love to see that, wouldn't you? It would be like that's what God could do for all the sin that I carry with me. That's not what God chooses to do. He chooses to send his son Jesus to die on a cross so that we might live and live life abundantly. How tender is your heart? Second thing, are you looking for opportunities in your life to represent God? I think this is an important question because you're busy and I'm busy. You've got your schedule of things you're going to do today, and I know it's directed toward mom, and we have one in our home. PJ and I were talking about what we're doing today. I haven't found out what you're doing, so we got our conversation ended when we had to walk down the aisle this morning. But we all have schedules, right? They're going to hit Monday morning, and Nehemiah had a schedule. He was a very busy human being. But it did not keep Nehemiah from having a focus on the things God wanted him to focus on. And so when he heard the cry from the people in Jerusalem that the wall was in rubble and it was very important, he didn't just say, okay, I'll pray for you. He did that. But he prayed with purpose. He prayed with focus, and he prayed this prayer, God, if any way you can use me to get back there to build the wall, that's a different prayer than I'll pray for you. Put me in, coach. I want to be a part of this dynamic. I want to use my gifts. Wow, did I hear my mom say that? Go out, use the things God has given to you on a regular basis. Look for places to engage your life. And I think we go on autopilot with God all too often. I'm glad Nehemiah didn't. But if we're going to rebuild and restore and renew today, in today's world, the same way Nehemiah did, we need to perk up and we need to sit up and we need to listen up. For God is a God who is offering us opportunities. Are you looking for opportunities to represent God on a regular basis? Or have you gone on autopilot? And the final question is this. Do you believe that God has for you a purpose that he'll provide? Do you believe that? Or is it just something that's out there and on Sunday morning or when you do your Bible study or in your small group, it's a thought process, a thought bubble that blows up or goes away or somebody sticks a pin in it and then you're back to reality. Do you really believe that if you open up your heart in prayer, that if you ask the God of the universe to break your heart with the things he breaks, if you stay in constant connection, if you're always watching, not only with a tender heart, but for God to do great things and open up opportunities for you, do you believe it'll happen? Nehemiah did, step by step, vision by vision, dream by dream, brick by brick. This wasn't an easy task for him. If you go back and you read the entire book of Nehemiah, he had enemies that were trying to take him down on a regular basis. In fact, they were trying to get and lure him away to kill him. That's how difficult Nehemiah's life was, but he stayed true to the moment. always with a tender heart, always with vision and focus, with compassion leading the way, and a desire to do what God wanted him to do, what God created him to do. There are three questions, and I'm sure you can see in those questions a mom's desire and love that emanate into child's life that are under her care, children's lives. But, you know, they are a God of the universe. We're his kids, right? And he cares for us, and he wants to motivate us into the future. So with those three questions as a backdrop, I want to just take a moment to highlight something which is going to happen in October. In October, we are going to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And we're going to take some time. We've planned on it in September to do a series on that, and we're excited. I want to read for you this stanza of Built on a Rock, of which Martin Luther wrote, "Built on a rock, the church must stand, even when steeples are falling. Crumbled have spires in every land, bells still are chiming and calling. They're calling the young and the old to rest, calling the souls of those distressed, longing for life everlasting." This is a powerful man, Martin Luther, who reformed the church. The church was heading in the wrong direction, if you remember the overarching theme of the Reformation. And he stood out with 95 thoughts of how the church should stand and got him into big trouble, hot water. In fact, his life was being sought after. He was sent away because people wanted to kill him, wanted to send him to prison. They wanted to use him as an example. But God had infused in his heart a tender spirit for the church, even though it was a powerful moment. I thought it would be good today to sing a little bit of A Mighty Fortress. Are you ready? To just get back in touch with what he brought. So are you ready to sing this stanza? Come on, let's join our voices. That final stanza says, "God's word forever shall abide, no thanks to foes who fear it, for God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. If they take our house, goods, fame, child, and spouse, wrench our life away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom is ours forever." This is a man who fought to rebuild, to restore, and renew. It was from a tender heart, a heart that was broken, that the church that God said the gates of hell will never destroy was heading in the wrong direction. And it was a conviction that he had to move that forward. And prayer was huge to Luther. Over the past 2 weeks, some of you are saying, "Where have you been?" Well, 4 weeks ago, I was in the worship center. And 3 weeks ago, I was in Pennsylvania for two weekends, back to back, to preach at 60th anniversary celebrations of two churches that I've served. And so they just happened to be back to back, and so that was an honor for me. But as I watched those churches that I had served under and served at, and I started to realize what was going on, is they were in a celebratory moment. It's great to celebrate, isn't it? And we love to look back. But you know, when you look back, there's nothing back there but back. It's the foundational pillar on which we build. But there needs to be a future, and the way you get to the future is to create your present strong. And so I believe the past, the present, and the future all have to be celebrated at the same time if you really want to rebuild, restore, and renew. It's what God brings to us, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our gift this morning is that we have an opportunity to look at who we are as God's people and ask the question, what is God doing with us? We're not a static group who just come on Sunday morning or play out the church in one little event or this program or that. We are the living body of Christ. And that matters. The nation of Israel, in order to go back to the promised land, they had to stop living a fickle life, floating one day with God and one day away from God. They had to start to listen more fully to what God was bringing to them. And that's what we learn in this chapter of the storyboard. That even as Nehemiah and Ezra and Malachi bring this phenomenal moment where the walls around Jerusalem are finally rebuilt, restored, and renewed, we are told over and over again that the people of Israel had to continually be reminded that there was something that they were missing. That was the deep relationship with the God who created them in his image. The deep relationship with the God who loved them, wanted so much for them. They struggle, they continue to struggle. For 400 years, we will find that there is silence and God doesn't speak while he's really speaking because he has invested in each one of them the opportunity to be the people they need to be. But it is not until that night in Bethlehem that we will look to next week when God sends his son that he puts his plan for salvation into motion fully. I would hope that you'd feel today this God breathing new life into you, whether it's through the story of Nehemiah, the story of Bob Pierce, the story of Martin Luther, the story of every mom that's in this room or who has passed from this earth into God's kingdom. We are called to restore and renew. By rebuilding. Rebuilding things like our own personal sphere. You want some targets? Work on your family today. I mean, don't just work with some nice flowers and a dinner date. I'm talking about work in the bottom resources of your soul, back in pour life into the relationships that you have. Care about those who you do life with. If you have a situation in your family today that's kind of a little difficult to work with, pray about it. Pray unceasingly. And just don't say, God, work. God, use me to work within. That's how Nehemiah prayed. I believe the God who does great things will provide for an opportunity for you to grow and become and relationships to blossom. Use it in your own individual sphere at work. Not giving in to the great machine of just your boss wanting to make more money or you as a boss wanting to make more money. But think about how you can rebuild and restore and renew to impact lives. Real, that's what God cares about, human lives. I don't know if God even cares about our economy. I wonder, you know, he doesn't care about the things we care about, sports teams, economy, the political environment, as much as we care about them. What he cares about is human lives that we engage. And what a great opportunity on this Mother's Day to think about rebuilding, restoring, and renewing those human lives. And then you look beyond your spheres, individual, start to think about this community that we live in. There's so many great opportunities to begin to think about restoring and renewing by rebuilding. Rebuilding Together Aurora is one, and it just took a big, huge focus toward the end of April, but it continues its work throughout the year. Working at Hasid House, we have ministry that reaches those who are homeless. Get involved. Teach Sparks. Work with our high school students. Our students in this community today are struggling like no other time. Not only have we gone through that journey and is still there, that heroin epidemic, pandemic, which is kind of sweeping this nation and the world, but equally there is a call for us to be more attentive to children's needs as suicide has kind of gone off the scales. And it's a silent moment where kids are just taking their lives and they're not telling anybody because they think it's an option. How do we do that? We rebuild, we restore, we renew on behalf of God, just like Nehemiah did. Our hearts break for those situations. And then we pray, God, use me. Think about your global impact. Think about how you can make a difference globally. Whether supporting a child who is in need in poverty or doing something crazy like I'm doing, and you don't have to run, you can walk. There are walks to do. But you know, when you run a marathon to create clean water for God, it kind of makes you think differently. And I would invite any of you to think about the thing that would make you think differently today, make you feel differently today. Make you focus on the compassion that God has, because it's different than anything that the world shows us. Nehemiah, he was called to rebuild, to restore, and renew. And so are we. Let's pray over this moment. Lord God, give us strength. Give us strength and opportunity, confidence, and the ability to see you actively working. This is not just a fairy tale or a dream to follow in your way. But you do provide when we allow our hearts to break with the things that break your heart. And when we pray to you that you will do and use us in great ways. Thank you for helping us to learn from this chapter of your story. And as the walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt, may our walls equally, those things that are torn apart, that need to be rebuilt in our lives relationally and in situations where people are struggling and suffering, may you use us, Lord. Guide our path and direct our way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.